You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome to your Canadiens Connection on Rocket Sports Radio. This premier hockey podcast featured at CanadiansConnection.fm brings you the latest news, in-depth analysis, and expert commentary about the NHL's most storied franchise, the Montreal Canadiens. Hosted by Rick Stevens and Amy Johnson. Our team of credentialed journalists provides behind-the-scenes insight on the Canadiens, designed to inform, entertain, and engage Habs fans around the globe. We are proud to be the trusted source for all things Habs for more than a decade. This is the Canadiens Connection Podcast. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of the Canadiens Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio. We're back once again to keep you informed, engaged, and entertained about the Montreal Canadiens in the midst of the summer season. Glad you're with us here again this week. We've got a great show coming up for you today, which is episode 359 of the Canadiens Connection podcast. This week's episode titled Habs Prospect Radar. Meet the next wave of rising talent. That's right. We're going to talk about some of the youngest, newest members of the Canadiens organization. But before we do that, let me introduce you, of course, to my wonderful co-host, our founder and president here at Rocket Sports. His name is Rick Stevens. Welcome to August.
It is August. And Canadiens news is still ongoing. You mentioned the youngest talent. They're on the ice, not only at Brossard, but at the World Junior Summer Showcase, which we're going to get to a little bit later. It's I do feel sorry for those folks who take the summer off and then arrive back in September and have to play catch up. We appreciate everybody who's been joining us. Our numbers have exploded, so thank you for all the downloads on all your favorite podcast platforms. And just do us a favor, remember,
and on YouTube,
and on YouTube too. Just do us a favor and remember to subscribe, whether it's on your podcast app or subscribe on YouTube. And that way, once the action starts in September, you won't miss a thing.
That's right. We certainly wouldn't want you to miss a minute of today's episode. We're going to get you caught up on some Habs news, and there has been Habs news this week. And we're going to talk to you about what's going on with the Canadiens, with their roster, with their prospects. As Rick just mentioned, the World Junior Summer Showcase, which is the summer kind of evaluation camp for World Junior roster selection. That's taking place right now, and there's some Habs representatives there. There's a bit of Laval Rocket news. There all sorts of things. Even some NHL news. And then in our second segment, that's always where we hit our big topic of the week. We're going to let you get to know the new wave of Habs young prospects. Except, you know, this isn't going to be here's their statistics and here's how much they weigh and how tall they are and how many goals they had. We're not going to do that. We're going to give you a little insight into their personalities because this next crop of prospects, I think, are quickly going to become fan favorites they've got some tremendous off-ice personalities. And so we're going to give you a little taste of some of that today. It's a fun segment. We are going to have not one but two Canadiens Connection questions of the week for you to answer. We have some great responses from last week's question that we're going to bring to you in segment three, as well as some other fun inquiries that we've had and so forth. So lots to talk about. We shouldn't waste a minute getting right into it. If you thought last summer, we've said this a couple of times, If you thought last summer was the summer of love, well, 2025 is not to be outdone. Suzuki and Caitlin Fitzgerald did tie the knot last weekend.
That's what we thought was going on with all the folks in town.
That's right. And the Habs portion of the guest list was pretty extensive.
And just about everybody was there with their partners. Caulfield, of course, was there. Gallagher, Demidov, Hudson, the Jack guys, Patrick Laine. Patrick Laine, of course, got married earlier this summer. Noah Dobson got married. Former Canadian defenseman Joel Edmondson, which some Canadians players attended. And, you know, this wedding, what do you get a Nick Suzuki? What do you get Nick Suzuki and now Caitlin Suzuki as a wedding gift? And according to Angela Price on her Instagram, she said that Nick and Caitlin asked for donations to charities that they support in lieu of wedding gifts. So
well, that's awfully nice.
Yeah, I thought that was a nice little gesture. And you know, if you had Patrick Laine, kind of the extravagant wedding, if you had Noah Dobson being kind of the conservative wedding, this is somewhere in the middle, and then they right afterwards jetted off to the Turks and Caicos, I think it was.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, all right.
And then he'll be back soon, and you'll see him on the ice at Brassard as more and more players are arriving there well ahead of training camp.
That's right. In fact, getting into the roster news, that actually segues right into that bullet point of practicing at Brassard this week. A number of names there. Laine, you mentioned, he was one of them, but there, who was also obviously in town for Suzuki's wedding. But then we saw some new faces there as well.
Caden Gooley is back. Jake Evans was there. We talked about him last week. Owen Beck, Jaden Struble, who we're going to. We have an update on Jaden Struble. Jakub Dobish, we know he trains in St. Louis in the offseason. He's moved back into Montreal. And non-Canadian, we had Tyler Toffoli last week. Well, he was there for the wedding. This week, it's Chris Letang joined the Canadians at Brassard.
All righty. You mentioned, and I imagine as we progress each week now through August, that that list of skaters at Brassard is going to grow and grow as guys start returning to town. You mentioned Jaden Struble. Yes, we do have a piece of information on him. Struble and the Canadians dodged the arbitration hearing, and the Canadians signed him to a 2-year one-way deal with an AAV of $1.4125 million.
All right, so to your contract, in the ballpark of the contract that Arbor Jacki signed, he was $1.3 million a year ago. Those are essentially the two players that we expect to be competing for the either the sixth or seventh defenseman roles. Struble, we know he was selected in the second round, 46 overall in the 2019 NHL draft. Last season, he averaged just under 15 minutes per game and scored 13 points, 2 goals, 11 assists in his 56 games played. So Struble was the last unsigned Canadiens player heading into the season. We know he was a restricted free agent and he had filed for salary arbitration. The hearing was scheduled for Sunday the 3rd, didn't get there. But now the Canadians have signed everyone. What's going to be interesting to watch is that group of defensemen. Who's going to be the ones to grab those spots? And where does David Reinbacher fit in, and who's going to be the guy that's left out?
That's a very good question.
Yeah.
The other question I have is looking at that contract. What is it that the Canadians gave him as a qualifying offer that he felt the need to go to arbitration?
Yeah. I don't know.
Because it's not like that's like some bombastic contract that they settled on. So I just find that.
A lot of that is just posturing, I guess.
I suppose.
But Kent knows how to play that game pretty well, I think, sat on both sides of the fence.
Team Canada has invited 42 NHL players, that's 26 forwards, 13 defensemen, and 3 goaltenders, to Team Canada's orientation camp for the upcoming Winter Olympics.
How many goaltenders did you say?
3.
3 goaltenders to camp.
3.
Hmm. What was the
same same 3 goaltenders that they invited to Four Nations.
Yeah. Well,
should I just say that Hockey Canada doesn't learn lessons very well and just leave it at that?
Yeah,
it's a general overarching statement.
and listen, first let's congratulate the Montreal Canadiens who are going to the orientation camp in Calgary.
That's right.
The end of August. This doesn't mean that they've made the team. It doesn't mean that players who weren't named haven't made the team.
Right.
They can change their mind, obviously.
It's just an interesting starting position.
It is an interesting starting position. Usually you invite more than you need, and we're talking about goaltenders here.
You whittle it down.
Because they were so heavily criticized about goaltending, it was maybe their weak link at Four Nations, although, you know, Binnington in the end,
he came through.
But it was a bit touch and go. You might have expected that it would have been different this time around. But the Canadians invited Nick Suzuki, Noah Dobson, Sam Montembeau. Congratulations to all three. And that's great. Again. Of the 42 players mentioned, Sam Montembeau is the only representative of Quebec, so that's certainly helps his argument for making the team as it did last hour, as it did for Four Nations. Let's see what happens. Let's see what happens at camp, we'll see if there's any additions to the Team Canada list.
We don't know yet who Team USA is inviting. Would that be Elaine Hutson, Cole Caulfield?
Yeah, there's some scuttlebutt, nothing confirmed, but the rumors are rampant. And I think part of that is just trying to light a fire under Canadians fans, saying that don't expect Hutson or Caulfield there. But no announcement's been made, so we're going to leave that alone for now.
That's fine, because you know what? Lane Hudson's busy right now anyway.
He is.
He's busy coaching.
It's great to see him with behind the bench.
Behind the bench and looking much more grown up and mature than he... saying he looks immature, but he's a kid. He looks young. He's a young-looking young man. Behind the bench as a coach, he looks all grown up.
But there's been a couple of these, like the jerseys of his team, really sharp.
Their kits are spectacular.
They're fabulous. This is if you go to HudsonProDevelopment.com, these are hockey camps for youth run by Lane's dad, Rob Hudson. Lane's involved, Quinn's involved, Cole's involved, all as coaches at these camps. And then at the end of the tournament, they get to have a bit of fun and, play games. And my goodness, he looks serious. And engaged of course the kids are very responsive. Somebody else, who was at a youth event was Jakub Dobish. And as I said, he was back in Montreal this past week. Camp Sport Life at Brebeuf College participating with young players. And he got on the ice with these little guys. There's a clip that is adorable. And there's a quote here that he says that he has, over the summer, he tries to put hockey aside. He goes and trains and everything, but he tries to bring order to his life. He trains, has fun, sees family, and then comes back and he's ready to tackle the season and his challenges. But one of the things that he does is get engaged. And this is something he did when he was at Ohio State University. They had a day dedicated to kids. And he said, "It always makes me happy to be part of these kinds of initiatives. It's fun to see how excited the kids are. Smiles everywhere, a little bit of nervousness. Reminds me of what it was like when I was their age and camps like this were offered." He says, "I try to make a few saves out there here and there when I'm on the ice with the kids, but you won't see me get angry if the youngsters score at my expense."
Yeah.
And he laughed. So then there's this clip of Dobish on the ice. And there's a bit of a scrum around the net.
Swarm around him, yeah.
Yeah, the bees are swarming around. And he makes a save or two then the rebound comes out and one of these little guys pots a goal. And they go off and celebrate. And then Dobish gets up and he puts his head down.
He's shaking his head.
His head. And then one of the little guys from his own team comes over, taps him on the mask. And you can, it's okay,
buddy.
It's okay. It's fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. And it's great seeing.
You'll get him next time, Dobish.
Yeah. Pull up your, don't worry. We'll get a goal out there for you. But it's great to see Canadians players involved with young hockey. And it's got to mean the world to them, both in Dobish, with Hudson, with any of the other players that are involved. And there was another charity event of sorts, and we're going to talk about that later with Alex Newhook. So great to see the Canadians players involved.
I have to wonder, though. I mean, it's one thing for younger kids to get to interact with Elaine Hudson, who is relatively small in stature. I can't imagine the little guys interacting with Jakub Dobish, who must tower over them, particularly on skates like Godzilla. He's a big kid.
On his knees, he'd be bigger.
All right, let's actually take a little turn here and dive into the Habs prospect report.
It's time for the Rocket Report. The Rocket Sports Media team is your premier source for information about the Laval Rocket, the AHL affiliate of the Montreal Canadiens, as well as Habs prospects playing in the CHL, NCAA, and leagues around the world.
In case you have missed it, the world, we teased it last week, and today, which is Saturday, August 2nd, the World Junior Summer Showcase wraps up with its final games today out in Minneapolis. Just as a reminder, in case you're not familiar, the World Junior Summer Showcase is hosted every August by USA Hockey, usually at their arena in Plymouth, Michigan. But because the World Juniors is taking place in Minneapolis this year, they're hosting it there at Ritter Arena at the University of Minnesota. And so junior players from the U.S., Canada, Sweden, and Finland all converge in one place for kind of a mini tournament that's a week long, and it allows coaches and execs from both from all four national teams to basically evaluate the talent and start to get an idea of what they might want their roster to look like for the World Juniors in 5 months' time from now. And so they will play their final games today, but there are some significant Habs prospects playing at this showcase this year.
So, and we talked about who was there last week. LJ Mooney, he was drafted this past June, the 2025 NHL draft, 113th overall. The rest of the Canadiens prospects who are at the World Junior Summer Showcase, taken at the 2024 NHL draft, Owen Protz, 102nd overall. Atos Koivu, 70th overall. And first round pick Michael Hage is also there. And as we are recording, the final two games are upcoming today, Saturday. And we're in the midst of the Finland Sweden game. The Europeans have so far dominated this. Mm-hmm. So this would be essentially the unofficial championship game, although they're all treated as exhibition games. And Atos Koivu has one assist so far as Finland is up 2-0. We're going to get to Atos in a minute, but let's go through what other folks are doing at the tournament.
Well, we'll start with the host team, Team USA. As you mentioned, LJ Mooney is there representing Team USA. He's played in three games, and he's certainly made an impression while he's been there this week.
He has.
Just like he did at Habs Development Camp.
Just as I was about to say that. Three games, 3 points. They'll have a game later on with Canada. Two goals and an assist for LJ Mooney, and he has turned heads, unquestionably turned heads.
Well, and the difference this time is he turned heads at Habs Development Camp, and that's a great thing. Now he's turning heads at an international tournament exhibition week with a ton of scouts, a ton of analysts watching, other players watching, other teams watching. This is a much bigger stage for him to be impressing on, and so that's an important thing.
And against some of the best junior age players in the world,
right,
representing their countries. Michael Hage has 4 points in three games, three of those goals. He played on a wing earlier in the week with Michael Misa as center. The game later on today against the USA, he's slated again to play on the wing of Team Canada's top line, Cole Reshny being the center there, Sacha Boisvert the other winger in that game.
So he's taking a pretty significant and important role in each game's deployment. And again, he's playing for Team Canada, of course, as well as is Owen Protz, who has played in two games.
And Owen Protz will be in that lineup if you can get that game. Be sure to watch it because Owen Protz will be there in the lineup. He hasn't registered a point just yet. He will be the seventh defenseman for Team Canada on Saturday.
Then we come to Team Finland. Atos Koivu has played in four games. It's not including the fifth game that he's playing at this moment. But before that assist that you said he registered in the game that he's currently playing in, he's just exploded in this tournament. He's only got 6 points in four games, but they're all goals.
Six goals in four games. He has been the star of the tournament, and it's not even close. He has been unbelievable. And we'll look at the day five coverage from the folks at Daily Faceoff who are doing daily reviews, and they highlighted three Canadians prospects. Hage, it says Hage was a bit quieter in the first half, but was one of the few Canadians who continued to give it his all even when the game got out of hand, and I think that game ended up 8-4. His goal to close out the game was really nice. And this is Stephen Ellis, who's writing this, said, but I liked his chemistry with Boisvert the most. Hage is a lock to make the team. He's just so stable, smart, and committed to two-way dominance. Earlier in the week, Daily Faceoff had written that Hage is a perfect number two center because he plays a reliable two-way game without sacrificing his offensive chances.
Do you know of an NHL team who's in need of a second line center?
How do we hit fast forward on that development thing?
I know. Continuing with the day five reviews by Daily Faceoff, Atos Koivu, they felt obviously the need to mention him as well, saying they don't hand out awards for this tournament, but Koivu has easily been the MVP. He had two goals today. This was the day that they had written this, day five. And his ability to drive into the slot to create chances all week long has made him incredibly dangerous. Koivu wastes no time getting his shot off, and he's always in the right spot at the right time.
Now, he missed last year, and this was this tournament was a big deal to him. He was great at development camp as well, and he's really taken this opportunity to get noticed at the tournament.
Go ahead.
LJ Mooney, who we talked about. The commentary, Friday's commentary on LJ Mooney from Daily Faceoff is there wasn't a single player in the game who showed more confidence with a puck than Mooney. And there's no shortage of confidence when you talk to, when you watch Mooney, and we should, in the Rocket Sports group, we shared a clip that had Mooney, and this goes back to when he was in minor hockey, and he had confidence when he was 6 years old with a puck. Daily Faceoff goes on to say the small but skilled forward scored a goal and nearly had another on the power play. I like how much power he packs into the small frame, and he clearly knows how to make things happen when uncontested by the faceoff dots. I think he's got a legit chance to make the main team in December. That coming from our friends at Daily Faceoff, Steve Ellis in particular.
That's wonderful. So Canadiens prospects probably going to make the World Juniors a bit more exciting for Habs fans to watch this year by the sounds of things, which could be pretty fun.
And we're going to talk more about these folks in our second segment. So don't go away.
Yeah. This was kind of the X's and O's.
Primer. Yeah.
In the second segment, we're going to get a little more into who these guys are. One other note while we're in the Habs prospect report involving the Laval Rocket. Laval captain Lucas Candada, you were talking about great to see Habs players either doing charity events or doing community outreach types of things. Well, Lucas Candada did something sort of similar this week, returned to his alma mater. He was an NCAA guy, went to UMass Lowell. University of Massachusetts Lowell campus. And so he returned to UMass Lowell this week for basically to give a talk to the guys who are there for this season's training camp and seemed to not only have a great time, but was very well received.
Really like Lucas Candada. He was a leader on that UMass Lowell team. He wore a letter, wore an A, wore a C in his final year. And now, of course, the captain of the Laval Rocket. He an Ontario guy from Georgetown, just outside of Toronto, but chose the NCAA route. And we don't know what his message was, but certainly inspiring, and we've seen him be quite a leader for the Laval Rocket, and certainly stand up for his teammates.
Absolutely. The UMass was obviously happy about him being there. The hockey team sent out a tweet saying, huge shout out to former Riverhawks captain Lucas Candada, who graduated in 2022, of the Laval Rocket and Montreal Canadiens, for making a return to the Songhees to speak to the team today. So they were pretty pumped. There was a really nice picture of him with all the guys who were there for training camp. And so good on Lucas Candada for giving back a little bit to his alma mater. There's just one piece of, while there's been plenty of Canadiens news over the last week, NHL news in general has dried up under the August sun. Everyone is at the cottage, apparently. But there was one last piece of business to get done. With Struble getting his contract signed earlier in the week, there was only one arbitration case left hanging. It was also scheduled for Sunday the 3rd, but looks like the Toronto Maple Leafs have avoided that hearing because Saturday morning they signed Nick Robertson to an extension.
So all the NHL arbitration cases have been resolved. None went to in front of an arbitrator, and we predicted that they have been resolved. So no further business with restricted free agents.
That is it. That's all she wrote. All right. We are going to take our first break here on the Canadians Connection podcast. Coming up, we are going to tackle our big segment of the week, which is helping you to get to know the new wave of Habs young prospects. It's going to be a fun segment. You get to hear from some of these young guns, which is a lot of fun. So stay with us. You are listening to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Rocket Sports Media is currently recruiting talented, motivated, and committed people to join our team. If you're a student wishing to gain experience, a young professional interested in broadening your credentials, an experienced hockey mind looking for a platform to share your expertise, or a passionate fan looking to contribute to our publications by connecting with fellow hockey fans, we want to hear from you. If you are bright, loyal, passionate, and willing to dedicate yourself to a remarkable team, email us at hello@rocketsportsmedia.com with "Join our team" in the subject line. We can't wait to hear from you.
And welcome back to the Canadians Connection podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio. Once again, my name is Amy Johnson. You can find me over on X if you'd like to follow our coverage there throughout the hockey season. I'm a little quieter in the summertime, but once hockey season really starts to ramp up, I'll be tweeting there more often. So if you'd like to follow me there, you're more than welcome to do so. My handle over on X is @FlyersRule. And of course, once again, with me in the studio is my co-host, our president and founder, here at Rocket Sports. His name is Rick Stevens. You definitely want to be following him over on X, as his account is the same as our overall company account, which puts out all of our content, written, video, podcasts, you name it, all of our news about the Canadians, all of our, you know, analysis, tweets, interesting things, lots of retweets of good other content and so forth. So be sure to follow him at Rocket Sports over on X. You can also follow this podcast on X if you'd like to, actually on X, Facebook, or Instagram. The handle for that is @HabsConnection. Don't forget, as Rick said at the top of the show, don't forget, if you haven't done so already, tap that subscribe button either in your podcast player or on YouTube, because we don't want you to miss a single episode all throughout the summer, and certainly not once training camp and the season rolls around. In about a month, maybe 6 weeks until training camp. It's almost here. All right. So as the Canadians do continue to progress through their rebuild, they are improving as a hockey team. And that means that the likelihood of them picking year after year in the next number of years in the top five of the NHL draft will become more and more unlikely, which is a good thing. For the team, it's a good thing for the organization, it's a good thing for fans, but it means that they've needed to be strategic about the picks that they do take while they've had the opportunity to get top-notch prospects. Now, this year, after trading their two first-round picks in the 2025 draft, Montreal didn't select their first player until early in the second round with the 34th overall pick. And I think, you know, you might start to see a bit of that strategy happen more and more as the sequential years keep coming up as they get further into this rebuild. But in the meantime, Montreal's focus right now is building and developing their prospect pipeline, because now that they've gotten these high-end pieces, they need to make sure to develop them properly. And the players who've been selected in the last 2 years of NHL drafts have a very good chance at someday becoming part of the core of players that will contend for a Stanley Cup championship year after year. And so, Rick, I thought this was a great idea that this week, it's one thing to talk about statistics, and we talked about their numbers in the first segment in terms of what they're doing at the World Junior Summer Showcase. But more than that, every player is more than just a stat page. It's our good friend and former Canadiens goaltender Charlie Lindgren used to talk about how, you know, used to try to admonish people for look at players beyond just their stats. So that's what we're going to do today, to give you just a glimpse into some of the personalities of these prospects who could be in line sooner rather than later to challenge for a spot on the Canadiens lineup.
That's right. And that's why we're titling this Getting to Know the New Wave of Habs Young Prospects. We had an opportunity with the World Junior Summer Showcase, and we'll get to it a little later, a charity event in Newfoundland, to grab some quotes from young players. And in particular, the first four players we're going to hear from were all taken in the last two NHL drafts by the Canadiens. And this is just a bit of who they are and how they interact with the media, how they interact with fans. And we thought it was a great way of giving our listeners some insight into each of them.
Definitely. So we're going to start with the guy who was, I think everyone was bowled over by how effervescent he was at the draft. And then once again, how just smiley and friendly and happy and excited he was when he came to Habs development camp. And none of that enthusiasm has dissipated in general for LJ Mooney. And the fact that he now has Lane Hutson as a role model is something that he certainly likes to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's unbelievable. I watched him play at NTDP a little bit, just seeing the moves he would pull off there. And then he didn't change at all throughout the years. At college, he lit it up here, and then he's doing unreal in the NHL. So getting to watch him throughout the years has been pretty unbelievable. And then being drafted by the same team, and I think he was doubted, so having people doubt me also, I think it's like pretty cool to have that guy.
As a role model.
Yeah.
Following his footsteps, in a different position, of course, but with maybe some similar challenges. And LJ Mooney, nothing can dampen his enthusiasm. And we heard at development camp that Canadiens players at Habs prospects at development camp were asked which player surprised you most, and without exception, they answered LJ Mooney, that he has incredible skill. We're seeing that again at the World Junior Summer Showcase. But beyond the skill on the ice, he also just has an aura of enthusiasm around him, permanent smile, as you said, and just very positive in every one of his answers to the media.
It's just he's one of those kids that's going to make it very difficult for you to not like him. And that's not a bad thing to have. He's very honest. Well, and we tend to say this every time there's a new crop of prospects. We hope it takes a long time for that kind of jaded response to the media starts to come in, yeah, where they start to give you all the canned replies. And when they're young, they're just excited. They're very honest, and it's refreshing to hear just their genuine reactions and their genuine personalities. And LJ Mooney has certainly made his mark there. Now, another guy who's certainly had plenty of talk around him, not about, you know, his off-ice personality, but his on-ice personality, is Owen Protz. Who is the self-proclaimed old school, he's not afraid to lay a heavy check. He's not afraid to mix it up. He likes that old school kind of hockey. So he's certainly earned that reputation on the ice. But what about who Owen Protz is and the kinds of things that he likes to do? Well, we got a little bit of insight into that when he talked about getting his invitation by Team Canada to come to the World Junior Summer Showcase camp.
I mean, it was pretty surreal. It's a first time here representing a Hockey Canada kind of showcase or anything like that. And it was incredible. I was out on a lake doing some pike fishing, got terrible service. So I was kind of cutting up, but Jared Power gave the call, and it was amazing to hear. I was with my buddy and one of my good friends from high school, so it was really an incredible feeling to knowing that I could represent my country and represent really what I've loved to watch on TV since I was 4 years old. So it was an incredible experience.
What have you done, do you think, to put yourself in this position?
really I can say just following orders, following coaches, parents, all my friends kind of saying, follow your dreams, do what you can, and playing the best hockey that I can. It's always been fun for me to work hard and compete at the highest level. I mean, there really is no other better experience and more fun one can have than giving it your all against guys who are top in the world really now in this stage and opportunity. So it's incredible.
Out pike fishing.
I was doing some pike fishing.
he's very well spoken.
He is
down to earth, yep. Very humble. And he said a little bit later, I'm just going to be myself. I want to be a physical defenseman. I want to be a reliable defenseman. And that's something that he's been told that Hockey Canada wants and needs for their team. He blocks shots. He's committed to the penalty kill. As you said, physical in a punishing kind of way. But that reliable stay-at-home defenseman that every team needs. And he's carved out his niche with the Brantford Bulldogs and has had a very good week with Team Canada as well. We'll see whether he gets added to the World Junior team. Maybe a bit more of a long shot, but this has been a wonderful experience for him to be part of this group.
And it's interesting. He is one of those who just listening to him talk, you wouldn't think that he was the known tough guy.
No.
On the ice, because he's just, as you say, down to earth. He's very friendly. He's very, you know, kind of disarming and kind of warm in his replies and just very genuine. You would never know that he's the resident tough guy that you got to watch your back when you're on the ice. Now, Michael Hage, certainly when he was drafted last year, lots of talk about him and his backstory. About being drafted by the Canadians and what it meant to him and his family and so on and so forth. Well, Michael Hage now has a season worth of NCAA experience under his belt and with a pretty significant hockey program at Michigan. And so he now is looking to the future and obviously the Canadians are looking to the future as well. And they'll be watching him very carefully this upcoming season at Michigan. And here is what Michael Hage says that he's going to bring to Michigan hockey for his sophomore season.
I think just more of a leadership role. I think I'm in much better shape than I was going into last year. It's a lot easier, I think, once you know what you're getting yourself into. And it's exciting. I mean, we have a lot of skill coming in. So just to have the chance and opportunity to be a leader and someone that our group can rely on. And I mean, obviously the goal at Michigan and the standard is to win. So it's exciting to get another crack at it. And it should be a really good year.
He speaks like a leader.
He
wants to bring his leadership to the crew at Michigan in his sophomore season. And yes, he speaks like a leader and that'll be something that he can build. He had a fabulous rookie season and freshman season, and as he said, he's now in better condition. We heard at development camp that since the end of the season to development camp, he had put on 10 pounds of muscle. He's bigger, stronger, better conditioned, and ready for that season at Michigan.
Well, it'll be exciting to watch him in the NCAA once again this year, and see how much more forward he can progress in his development, because the clock's ticking. Let's go. Atos Koivu, if take his relationship to take the fact that his dad used to be such a significant figure for the Habs organization as a captain, as a cancer survivor, you name it. Even without that legacy attached to him, I said this to Rick before we went on the air today. I think that Atos Koivu is going to be one of the biggest fan favorites, not just for his skill, not just because Saku is his dad, but because of his personality. And I think you're going to really hear that in this clip. This kid is so refreshingly just down to earth. And friendly and smiley. And like, that's why I said at the top of the show, this crop of new prospects, there are many times Rick and I have attended this particular tournament, the World Junior Summer Showcase, many times. Back when it was, before it was starting to be held every year in Plymouth, Michigan at USA Hockey Arena, back when it was still being held in Lake Placid, we were covering this. And talking to kids, talking to prospects at this age, can be challenging because they're not used to having a bunch of microphones shoved into their face all the time. And they're generally not great at long form sentences, let's say. sometimes it's hard to get more of like a yes or no answer out of them. This crop of new prospects that the Canadians have do not have a problem with that. They're all really well spoken, and it's really nice to see. And Atos Koivu is definitely up there with them. What's interesting about this clip that you're going to hear is he actually had a little dust up on the ice during a game against Michael Hage when Finland was playing Canada. And so this is Atos Koivu talking about after the fact about what happened and what the fallout is.
Yeah, I mean, at the development camp, we were roommates and we were really, really good friends. So nothing personal with him, you know. We were good buddies. We were already talking before the game that let's have fun out there. So it stayed on the ice, you know. He got a good hit on me, kind of lit me up there. So I got a little bit mad maybe and started chirping and hit him a little bit back. And we got both sent to the box and we continued chirping at the box. But I think that's what it's all about, you know. We're good buddies, like I said, so it's nothing personal. Yeah.
That is fabulous.
And lit me up a little bit.
Yeah. And, you know, the Canadians want what's most important, a characteristic is compete. Mm. And so here you have two guys who were very close. They did get very close at development camp, roommates, great friends. If you watched the content from the Montreal Canadiens over the development camp, Koivu was in two different videos, one on his own. As you said, he has that personality that he has the name, sure, but to keep watching, you need that personality. He certainly had that in the content that the Canadians put out. But one was a question and answer from mm-hmm. fans with Koivu and Hage. And they,
it's like a live on Twitch kind of thing.
Yeah, they laughed and joked through the whole thing and had obviously gotten to know quite a bit about each other. But the fact that when they get on the ice, that they're still competitors, yeah. And that Hage isn't holding back, he's gonna light up Koivu, and the fact that Koivu then goes back and there's a little bit of shoving, lots of chirping. They both went to the box. They were chirping in the box at each other. And then at the end of the game, kind of left it there. I loved everything about this. And it just shows the kind of character of the draft selections and perhaps future stars of the Montreal Canadiens.
Definitely. I look forward to not only watching what these guys can do on the ice, but it just makes you excited for each one of their media availabilities because I think they're going to have great things to say. We're going to come now to someone who is not as young of a prospect. In fact, he's already played NHL games. This is Jakub Dobeš that we're going to talk about because most Habs fans have gotten to see what Dobeš could do, in his stint in the NHL at the end of this past season. And maybe they've caught some Laval games here and there. But you might not be completely, unless you watch Laval games every single week and listen to media availabilities every single week in the AHL, you might not have an idea of exactly what kind of personality Jakub Dobeš has. And
he's a character.
He is a character, and he can be a menace on the ice. He reminds me of Carey Price. We've talked about this before in ways that he will take no nonsense in the crease from opponents. He is not afraid to get physical in the crease. He has a cheeky habit of his net accidentally coming off its posts at very convenient times. But he gets away with it.
But yeah, if you're screening in front of him, you're going to take some verbal and physical abuse.
Yeah, you are.
A forward is. And this clip we're going to play you is a little bit different because it didn't come from the World Juniors Summer Showcase. But there was an event in St. John's that was Alex Newhook raising money. Alex Newhook and his sister raising money. Of course, St. John's natives. They had with Alex were fellow Canadians. Arbor Jacki was there. Jakub Dobish, who you're going to hear from. You're going to hear from actually Dobish and Jacki. Jaden Struble was there. Former Canadian Michael Pezzetta, former Canadian Chris Nyland, and there was a fan fest where fans could come and there was a discussion. You could ask questions and there was prizes and it was hosted by. David Amber from Hockey Night in Canada, this attached to this whole charity event. We're going to get a quote from both Jakub Dobish and Arbor Jacki coming up here.
And we should just kind of set the stage for what it is that they're going to be talking about. So, Rick, just take us back. We all know that playoff game that just happened, the bench brawl. The Josh Anderson, the Tom Wilson crying like a baby, we all know that game, right?
We do.
Okay.
Jakub Dobish, unexpected, of course. First, his season was fabulous, and he basically stole the job from Caden Primo. His first five games, phenomenal. Shut out the Panthers, on and on and on. And as we heard Jeff Gorton say, one of the reasons, the points he got certainly contributed to Montreal being in the playoffs, but nobody expected him to play any games in the playoffs. But what happened? Sam Montembeau hurt. Jakub Dobish in for half of the game, then started the next game. Jakub Dobish got his first playoff win. He got the only win that the Canadians would get in the series against the Capitals. But what we're going to hear from here is about Jakub Dobish on being nervous in his first NHL action and why he was nervous. And Arbor Jacki is gonna take over and explain why why he was nervous and why things unfolded at the end of the period in that whole brawl that spilled onto the players' bench. A story you probably haven't heard before.
It was crazy. I was probably the most nervous ever. But we won, so
why? I'll tell him. So Dobie stands by the bench, right close to their bench, and he's looking over and he's chirping every single guy to come off the ice.
Let me just stop it here. This is prior to the game. This is during warm-ups.
When Montembeau was starting.
When Montembeau was starting. And Arbor Jacki is explaining this, that during warmups, Dobish is just trash talking every single Capital that goes by, just lighting into him. What does he care?
Why not? It's his job. I'm not playing tonight, so I might as well fire everybody up.
Back to Arbor Jacki.
Yelling at them, chirping them. Next thing you know, our goalie gets hurt. Dobie has to go in.
Uh-oh. That is true. They were definitely not nice to me the first 5 minutes. So, but I guess it worked out. But I stopped chirping in a game four, and yeah, I was just being quiet.
That's actually how the bench fight started. So, the period's over. So the other team has to skate across the ice, and Dobie has to skate through all of them. So nobody left. They just waited for Dobie because they wanted to have a word with him. But, and then I got in there, and it was madness.
I didn't say anything that bad, so I don't understand. You know, it's just happened.
I think we know who needs to be mic'd up for the year. It's you. Yeah. We found our dope.
Oh no! I say some bad stuff out there. So, yeah.
brilliant. All of it brilliant. Both just the genuine personality and Dobish being a character, wanting to fire up the team, wanting to get under the skin of the opponents. Arbor Jacki is a brilliant storyteller, taking over and talking about what happened prior to the game and why the Capitals were so upset and wanted to have a word with Dobish as he came to the bench at the end of the period. Then the, you know, Jacki felt he had to protect his teammate and get involved. The whole thing on the bench, Josh Anderson, everything, the whole backstory is just fabulous and ignited by an unlikely character, that young Jakub Dobish.
Well, and what I love about that, too, is David Amber then saying, earlier in the roundtable, they were talking about who should wear a hot mic during games and whatnot. And so David Amber is saying, well, obviously, okay, then, Dobie, you should, and he says, he's so innocently and kind of shyly says, oh, no. I know you wouldn't want, I say some bad things about things. And he sounds so disarming, like charming about it and whatnot. But I would absolutely believe that because on the ice, he can be unhinged. I imagine that he spews some pretty, pretty sharp chirps. And as he says, I say some pretty bad things out there. It's another one where, like, Owen Protz is very unassuming off the ice compared to his on-ice personality. I think Dobish is a little bit of the same because he's very different. He's just a nice kid who's, I think, a little shy off the ice. But on the ice,
he's a different person.
He's a totally different competitor.
And elsewhere in this, earlier in this fan fest, David Amber asked him about the, there was a shootout where he made the save to win, and he just took the puck and he made the save, took the puck and fired it into the corner. Dobie said, oh, I did that by accident. And all the players just burst into laughter because they knew that wasn't remotely true.
Yeah. But he's very humble. It was kind of on accident. And they're like, yeah, okay. Yeah, sure, Dobish. Sure, for sure. Listen, if it's not clear by now that there are some very fun personalities coming down the prospect pipeline, and you remember Jacob. You remember Fowler's personality.
Oh, yeah.
At draft day, development camp, you know, all of those kinds of things. Jake Fowler has absolutely a personality as well that we could roll him into this group as well. There are some fun personalities who have a lot of skill and a lot of talent coming down the pipeline. It's going to be a pretty, pretty fun ride for the Canadians and their fans coming up shortly. So what we want to do now, of course, is to ask you our Canadians Connection question of the week. We actually have two of them for you this week. Answer one or answer both. And the way to answer them is by texting us on our dedicated text line. That is the Rocket Sports text line, which is 5853-ROCKET, 5853-ROCKET. You could also leave a comment on YouTube. That's a great place to do it as well. You can leave a comment in our forum section, the Montreal Canadiens forum, fan forum, chat forum on hockeyhotstove.com. Or you could also, of course, hit us up on social media and leave your answer that way. So of the two questions, here's what you've got. Number one, of the Montreal Canadiens prospects who have not yet played an NHL game, that's the key there. Canadians prospects who have not yet played an NHL game, who do you consider untouchable? Absolutely untouchable, hands down. You know, Hage, Koivu, Fowler, Reinbacher, Zarofsky, Engstrom, any and all. If they haven't played an NHL game, which Canadians prospect is absolutely 100% untouchable for you in your eyes?
You won't want to see them traded anywhere for
right.
anyone.
That's right.
Who's untouchable?
And the second question, you can answer one or both. If you could fast forward the development of one Habs prospect and slot them into the NHL right now, who would it be? And I think Rick actually answered this question himself in the first segment when we were talking about who's been successful at the World Junior Summer Showcase. If you could fast forward the development of one Habs prospect and slot them into the NHL right now, which prospect would it be? And
we're
why?
We're not saying that any of them are ready to make the jump to the NHL, not by a long shot.
But if magically you could make it happen.
Yeah. Play along.
Who would you want? Be sure to send us your answers and your comments. We're going to pick out the best responses and read them on next week's show, which is always fun for us. And it's exactly what we're going to do coming up next after our final break here on the Canadians Connection podcast. We had some great replies to last week's question of the week. So stay with us. You are listening to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
If you're a business owner looking for the perfect platform to reach a targeted audience of customers, Rocket Sports Media is the solution. Our global hockey community provides unmatched social media reach to an attentive demographic of sports and entertainment fans. We can provide visibility to your company, helping you to engage and leverage this prime group of potential clientele. Drop us an email at hello@rocketsportsmedia.com for further details and information regarding this unique marketing opportunity.
And welcome back to episode 359 of the Canadians Connection podcast. Here we are in our eighth season of the show that just kicked off last month in July. So glad you're here with us. Thank you for being here. Don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget to also hit that share button if you have a chance to do that as well. It takes just a second to do that, but it makes such a big difference. We know that those of you who have been sharing the podcast on YouTube and social media and so forth have really helped, as Rick said at the top of the show, the explosion of downloads and views and so forth and listens that we've had over the summer. We're so thrilled to welcome so many new listeners and viewers to the show. And we want to keep growing that community even more. Also, be sure, if you haven't done so already, to head over to hockeyhotstove.com. That is our new home on the web for our written content this summer and all next season covering the Montreal Canadiens for Hockey Hot Stove. That has been put together by a number of great fellows who are professionals in the hockey realm, including a former NHL defenseman. That is one Chris Therrien, who's one of the co-founders of hockeyhotstove.com. So check us out there as well as the forums tab. I know I have talked about this before, but the forums for the Montreal Canadiens forum specifically has really started to heat up in recent weeks. There are constantly conversations happening there. I got a chance to have some great conversations with a number of the regular forum visitors over there this week. We were talking about all sorts of things, debating all sorts of things like, you know, what Kirby Dach's potential is for this season, who's going to get more starts this year, Montembeau or Dobesh? Is Patrick Laine going to continue on power play one, or is he going to be demoted to the second power play unit? Also, I mean, there's great topics for you to have conversations about, debate about. And it's also a great place to leave your answers for the questions of the week. We'll be pulling some great responses from there as well to read on the show. So be sure you check that out. You just have to go to hockeyhotstove.com, tap on the forums tab, scroll down and select the Montreal Canadiens forum, and you'll find a host of topics that you can chime in on. Now, before we, as I said, actually, first, let me just remind you of this week's two Canadiens Connection questions of the week. Answer one or both. First off, of the Canadiens prospects who have not yet played an NHL game, who do you consider untouchable, not tradable? They have to stay with the Canadiens organization. And secondly, if you could fast forward the development of one single Habs prospect and make them NHL ready right now, slot them into the NHL right now, which prospect would that be and why? And before we get to last week's Canadians Connection question of the week and some responses to that, Rick, you had a comment come in on the Rocket Sports text line about a different item of business that would be good for us to remind people about.
This comes into 5853 Rocket, the Rocket Sports text line. It says, this is Chris C., formerly from the other Hamilton. He's talking about Hamilton, Ohio, I think, rather than Hamilton, Ontario, who is now in Albany, New York area. I would appreciate being considered again for both fantasy football and fantasy hockey. Yes, we offer both fantasy football and fantasy hockey. We've been doing so for a dozen, 15 years. Brian Beasy is our fantasy commissioner, and Amy, you help out as co-commissioner in some of the leagues. We got a bunch of leagues. If you like to play fantasy football, if you like to play fantasy hockey, if you'd like to play against us, you know, we'd love to hear from you. Chris, yes, thank you. When you do that, and we're not going to read it on the air, but send your email address so we can be in touch with you. And thanks to Chris.
And send you the invitation to join.
Yeah. Thanks to Chris C., who reached out to us. And yes, we're going to get you into both fantasy football and hockey. And, of course, there was an NFL preseason action already underway, so the fantasy football league will be up and running a little bit before hockey. Still time for you to register. Just reach out to us. Either you can do it by email, hello@rocketsportsmedia.com, or by text, 5853 Rocket.
And there is no cost to join. It's just a free Yahoo league, private Yahoo league. So no cost to join if you just want to have some fun playing fantasy football and or fantasy hockey with a bunch of like-minded hockey fans and enthusiasts, then let us know and we will try to find a spot for you. All right, so last week's Canadians Connection question of the week was this. Let me remind you. Are Habs fans being too impatient, or is this front office too quiet this summer? What would you do differently? And Rick, you had a couple of direct replies to last week's episode and this question on the YouTube channel.
This one this one comes from Bernie M. Lenarski, 8382. He has a question, and maybe this goes to the mailbag. His question is simple. Are there any bachelors left on the Habs with all the summer
all the
love,
weddings.
All the weddings yeah. last year and this year? Another one. This one comes from Paul Cav, 8288. Paul says, fans should be happy with how the summer is going. We're a better team at this point than we were a year ago. With regards to Nazem Kadri, one of our in the mailbag was a fan endorsing the rumors that had Nazem Kadri coming to Montreal. Paul says, with regards to Nazem Kadri, fans should pay attention to what Gorton and Hughes continuously say. The players have to fit a timeline. They're not going to bring in a 34-year-old player that's going to block the path of their prospect. That's why the names of Rossi, McTavish, Beniers, Hayton keep getting mentioned. They all fit the age that they're looking for. Kadri is 34, turning 35 in October, signed to 4 more years at $7 million. Not going to happen, in the opinion of Paul. Thanks for your comment, Paul.
That's a great comment. Keep those coming. Also should mention, I've got a couple of more comments that came in on YouTube, but I specifically wanted to mention these because in case you haven't noticed, and even if you are someone who listens to the podcast on a podcast player, doesn't go to our YouTube channel to watch / listen to the podcast there, regardless of how you listen to the podcast, you still want to be subscribed to the YouTube channel. First of all, we do other videos there on occasion that aren't just the podcast. But particularly, every day we have posts that come out on the community posts tab on our YouTube channel. Sometimes it's letting you know of something that we've written or put out or things of that nature. Sometimes it's a quiz. Sometimes it's a poll where we want to poll you on a certain topic. And there's something there every day. And it's a great way to kind of be more interactive and engaged with us and the channel and with other Habs fans and whatnot. So if you aren't subscribed to YouTube, even if you prefer to listen to the podcast on an actual podcast app with just headphones, that's fine. But still go subscribe over to YouTube and check it out. You can go to InsideTheCanadians.com. InsideTheCanadians.com. That takes you straight to our YouTube channel. Just tap subscribe. And so we had a couple of comments come in off of those community posts on our YouTube channel this week. Both of which are from Center Heist 7948. And the first of those was literally just answering the fan question of the week, which I had also posted on the community tab. And so his answer to that is, great job, Amy and Rocket. I think Rocket Stevens is
stuck.
It's stuck. He says, I think Habs actually did a lot in the early going and actually jumped on the biggest prize of the summer with Dobson. However, I don't believe enough presented itself in what they need for a second line center. I do believe we did well in both trades, but I have a feeling losing Logan Mayhew may come back to haunt us. However, we did get a good piece in return. So I believe the Habs did what was possible. However, I really think they have to really jump on upgrading second center as soon as possible. Unfortunately, if they don't, I do believe that if they don't, this could hold back Demidov. I really think they wait to make the move in a trade deadline deal. I wish they'd do it now and let Matheson go with add-ons for McTavish. But I suppose they're waiting for the right deal to present itself. Keep up the awesome shows. So thank you very much, Center Heist, for that reply. But he also got in a reply on, this was just a general question I put out on our community post tab on the YouTube channel. And this was, if you were building the Habs power play right now, what would your first wave unit look like? Who would you have as power play one for the upcoming season? And so he says, it's a toss-up for Caulfield and Laine, but the other players, Suzuki, Slavkovsky, Hutson, Dobson, and Demidov could rotate.
I like it.
I like it too. You can still chime in on any of that. That's the great thing about the posts tab on YouTube is that you can click on that tab and just scroll through, participate in the polls, answer questions like that, all that kind of stuff. So go check that out and be sure you interact with us there as well. It's a ton of fun, and we'll keep the content coming there every single day for you as well. And so that's going to wrap it up for today's, for this week's show. We've got another great Canadians Connection podcast coming for you next Saturday, August 9th. Don't forget, they come out on YouTube 2 days later every Monday. Be sure to hit subscribe if you haven't done so already. We'll have plenty of news, plenty of things to talk about, maybe even some surprises. You never know. We just can't wait to see you here again, because every week over the summer that we meet and talk about the Canadians gets us 1 week closer to rookie camp starting in September. And it's going to be here before you know it. So thank you so much for taking us along with you for a little bit of your summer this week. We'll let you get back to enjoying the warm weather, and we'll see you again here next week for another great edition of the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Click subscribe so you never miss an episode of Canadians Connection. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Rocket Sports.